Good evening, everybody. It's Tuesday night, so we're back with the All Arsenal show. You may notice somebody is missing from the panel this evening, so I'm pretty sure the rest of the panel will join me in sending all of our love to Liam, Sarah, and Bobby on their new arrival, Billy, at the weekend. We can't wait to see more pictures of him, and hopefully we'll have El Smuggo himself back on the channel next week, fingers crossed. Or if not, we've got Jonesy joining in as my co-host. So, Josie, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Congratulations as well, Liam and family. Great to see Billy fit and well and coming home today. But yeah, happy to take your seat. I know I'll be kicked out of it, and you want to get back as quick as you can. So yeah, but no, happy to fill in for him and to be on the show again, rather than watching that drivel that's on the telly at the moment anyway.
Yeah, I think we'd all rather be here, wouldn't we, for an hour?
Absolutely.
And our other guests this evening, we've got Ryan himself joining us. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all good. As I say, I'd rather do this than watch Gareth Southgate or Fordgate, that palaver. I had to watch it on Saturday, and I was like, nope, not again. I'd rather be here with you guys talking all things Arsenal, especially with the cup final ahead.
Yeah,
Oh, and
absolutely.
congratulations to Liam and his other and the family and all that as well.
Absolutely. And joining us as well for the very first time this evening, we have Spencer. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me on. Congratulations to Liam on the new addition. But happy to be here and happy to contribute any way possible.
No problem at all. Pleasure to have you join us. So yeah, what we're going to do first, we're going to head into the women's section first this week, I think. So if you do have, as always, any questions, any topics you want us to talk about in the chat, do feel free to pop up. Ryan, is there anyone there at the moment to say hi to so far?
There's a few, got a few of the familiar faces. I've got Alex in the chat, says, obviously, evening to everyone. I've got BX Gunner as well. And obviously, Spencer's in the chat as well. And Catherine's in the chat saying hello as well.
Hello.
And they're
Yeah,
already
hello.
gambling already.
They're there nice and early this week, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Always, never in doubt. So yeah, as I say, we'll head into the Sunday fixture against Aston Villa, obviously away up at Villa Park. If you wouldn't mind, Ryan, to bring up the team sheet if you can there.
There you go.
Fantastic. I'll come to you, Jonesy, first, because we were obviously discussing the previous team sheet last week,
Yeah.
weren't we? There are a few welcome changes in this one. For me, especially seeing Emily Fox back in there. But what did you make of this? And are you happy to see some other names step in this time as well?
Yeah, I mean, that's the team I wanted last week. Do you know what I mean? But we didn't get it. But, you know, obviously due to the Gold Cup and players being tired. But yeah, it's great to see Emily Fox. She's been great since she signed for the club. She plays a real attacking threat on that right-hand side. And also, I'm a big Russo fan, so it's great always to see her starting up top. But that team was perfect team to start a game. You know, like I say, just wish we had that last week, but obviously we didn't. But we moved on, and then, you know, and it was a good game at the weekend.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll come to you, Spencer, as well on this one, seeing as we've got a little bit of the American connection. What do you make of Emily Fox and how she settled into the team so far?
I thought the game went pretty well on Sunday for her and everything. So I watched it. I watched the last two. Actually, I kind of missed a few of them because we don't get to see all of them over here in the States. And the team looked really good. It kind of reminded me of the West Ham game where you had all the shots and all the opportunities, and they finally fell through. But the team looked pretty good. The ladies looked very solid. And it was a good 3 points. So.
Perfect. And Ryan, just coming to you lastly on this one, because I know you've been on Jones's back slightly about team selections and stuff. So, what did you make of this team sheet in the end?
Well, again, I did a watch along on Sunday for this as well, as I always do, and my only gripe was Zinsberger in goal, because we've seen him throughout the season. If someone's slipping up or not consistently in form, he has no hesitation in dropping him out from the outfield perspective. Yet we are seeing Zinsberger, especially since from West Ham, especially onwards, his the return of the winter break, make mistakes that have led to goals. And she did had a massive, again, out of the 3 goals from Chelsea, the first goal was massively on her and her hands. She's got both hands on them. And I personally would have started Sabrina just to send a message to Manu and say, you've messed up. we've got someone, our second choice is back. You're going to have to fight for your place now for the rest of the season. Apart from that, though, I was happy. Happy with it. I was so happy to see Emily Fox back at, in the fullback, in the starting 11 as well. Because for me, since she's come, so far so good. I'm impressed with what I'm seeing of her. She can defend and she can get forward and she can put a crossing from what I've seen so far anyway. Lotta can't drop her. She's in form, probably the most informed player in general this season for us from the get-go. Williamson back, got to get her minutes up. And obviously, congratulations to her back in the England squad today. Touch wood, no injuries.
Yeah.
Again, I was happy. I mean, the only other thing on the outfield was Lottie mentioned it to me before as well. When Marnham and Russo, they don't, because Russo's still new, she's learning. They don't have that connection yet where Stina has with Frida, but because we haven't got the options of Viv, it's kind of a forced move. But I can't complain because the girl's got the job done. My one surprise from the outfield perspective was Caitlin Ford being dropped to the bench. Again, we're talking about going back to Manu, but based on her form. And Chloe's put out on the left-hand side instead. But again, it was a good enough than them, and either way, to do a job. Though they did make hard work of it. At the start, anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Particularly in the first half, wasn't it? It was pretty painful to watch, I thought. And then again, they got in quite easily and tucked away a pretty simple finish to take it to 1-0 before half time. What did you make of the whole scenario leading up to that goal? I'll go to you, Ryan.
Oh, for me, frustration. Because you could, it's the ball watching defending that does me, because it's not like we're on our knees defensively. We've got, Lotta, Leah's back. Emily Fox, Katie's back there as well. It wasn't like it was rookies, but it was just ball watching. There's no need. There was no awareness of their surroundings. Hence why, when the ball's been played, pulled back to, I can't remember the name now, but the Villa player that scored against us, she was open and free to go basically.
Yeah.
And it was frustrating. And again, another thing about Manu, someone needs to tell her she can use her hands. Because she has a habit of throwing her legs like to the ball instead of using her hands, and that frustrates me as well. But it was frustrating because that's the only thing they did in that half of any substance, and they scored from it. Whereas we were plugging away, and I wouldn't mind. But we had played against this tactic via Villa in the semi final, and we cracked it down within minutes. At half time in the cup, it was 4-0. Yeah. It was just so frustrating to see us struggle with the same tactic this time round and then switch off for that moment and give them something, which they realistically from the attacking sense didn't deserve.
Yeah. And Jonesy, just touching on that as well, do you think some of the first half performance was a bit of a lingering feeling from the game the weekend before?
Yeah, I was going to mention it. It might have been a hangover from the bridge. But you can see that's been our problem all season, conceding goals like that. It's just been sloppy defending at the back, ball watching. And I agree with Ryan there, Zinsberger. She seems to want to save all the time with her feet rather than her hands. I mean, she made some saves against Chelsea with her feet, and they proved, kept score quite down. But she needs to use her hands. But yeah, there was a lingering effect over the team. You could sense it as well, even though we were so dominant. I mean, what was it, 37 shots in total? I think 13 on target. It just seemed like we needed a goal to kickstart us into it. But obviously, they got it first before half time. And then I'd like to know what was said at half time, because, we come out as well, even better in the second half, just peppering their goal until we got that the first goal back anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And just finally on the team sheet, Spencer, what did you make of the fact that Stina Blackstenius had been dropped again? He seems to be rotating Russo and Stina at the moment and not really playing them together like we all want him to. So what did you make of that?
So I think my take on it is more of, you know, after last week's, I guess you could call it debacle at the bridge, you're just trying to rotate things and try to make something work, right? Because the first 30 minutes against Chelsea last week, it looked like two different teams, like two different levels of a team. So at the end of the day, I mean, the rotation is the key. You try to do anything. You see it on the men's side, right? Make rotation and you try to find your goal somewhere. The first goal that was given up by the Arsenal women, I mean, just too much space. Let the defend the forward, you know, too much space in the box, and you know, you can't be ball watching back there. You have to be alive. You have to anticipate, and you got caught off guard, and they punished you for it. And like Jonesy said, 37 shots. That's a lot, you know, 13 on target, and it was really 100% against the run of play.
Yeah, absolutely. And just going into that first goal, I thought it was really well worked by Leslie Russo. Not the best shot in the world, to be fair, but did enough in order for their keeper to sort of pan it back out to, I think it was around the penalty area, just slightly back out from that. And Pullover with quite a good shot to volley it in. Ryan, what did you make of the first goal? Can you hear me?
You're on mute, mate.
Sorry about that. No, I was saying, no, we... what I saw from the second half on to the build up from the first, the equaliser, then first 10 minutes, it was coming. We were, the girls came out of a purpose in the second half and looked to have a bit more intent in the attack. And the goal was coming. It was just a matter of who was going to get it, basically. It wasn't the greatest shot initially from Alicia, but she had the shot. The keeper parried it, and it fell to one of the players this season. Wanted to fall to in Pullover, because again, going back to what I say about Lotta this season, Pullover's been one of our consistents for the season, and the fact that ball's come out at speed to Pullover, and she just runs onto it, self at speed, but when she has the shot, she's got so much control over it. She doesn't just lace it, or it's just pure control, but with the power at the same time. And from there on in, it was like you knew what was coming. It was just a matter of time. But we did deserve the goal. Relief. My main emotion was relief, because, as I say, even though we were coming out with a bit more purpose in that second half, you knew the longer that it stayed 1-0, kept attacking. We saw it against Tottenham away in the season, 1-0 down. The longer it went on, they just grew in confidence and just parked the bus and did what they did back then. And you know that's what Villa would have done.
Yeah, exactly. And then, Josie, I'll come to you for the second goal. A beauty of a ball from Alessia Russo. arguably, shouldn't be the one putting that ball in. She should have been where Marta Ruben Moy was. But a really... a brilliant ball in. The weight of it was just perfect as well. It kind of just lingered in the air and just fell straight onto Lotta's head. As she obviously nodded it in. What do you make of Lotta Moy's performances this season and how much she's grown? And also the connection between the two as well.
I mean, I dread to think where we'd be without her performances this season, you know, with Williamson injured for most of it. She's been the standout player at the back, you know, pretty much the team this season. She's just Arsenal through and through, and she, you know, you love to see her when she scores on the pitch, especially for Arsenal. But yeah, Russo, I love the ball in, to be fair, and it's always nice to see when a striker does that. It makes me think, imagine if Steen was on the pitch as well, and them two were working together like that. I know loads of people call for them two to start more games. Probably we'll go into it Sunday. That's what I want to see. I doubt we will, but yeah, every time Lottie scores, it's great. It's just like, when Tony Adams scores for the men, or a proper Arsenal girl scoring a goal, a proper fan, a proper player.
That's it. Everyone gets behind it, don't they? They love it. Just to go on to the last goal, Stina did come on in the end, and there was some good link-up play, as we all hoped for, in that. But her goal was quite peculiar, I thought. If anyone was going to score a goal like that, I think it would be her. So obviously she slipped in the box. None of the Villa players reacted to it, and she managed to get up, have a shot and nutmeg two players and then the goalkeeper to tuck it away. Spencer, what did you make of the goal?
Even though, you know, like you said, she slipped, the presence of mind to get back up and just put the ball away, you know, like that's a true goal scorer. And, you know, I was really surprised the Villa players almost, it took everyone off guard. But yeah, I mean, excellent goal. I mean, it was well deserved too, because you just think about the men, what they did at West Ham in December, and they had all the opportunities, all the touches. And I know people made it, I think they made a big deal about the potential handball, where it looked like she may have touched it when she fell down, but I don't think there was nothing to it. But it was well deserved, because just think of how unfortunate it would have been, all those opportunities, and you're 1-1, 83rd minute. It's got to be frustrating. You just lost to Chelsea, your big rivals. And, you know, so props to him to getting it through. I thought it was an excellent goal.
Yeah, nice. And that's the thing, isn't it? It's all about, as I said earlier, kind of the hangover as such in the first half of the Chelsea game, but then growing in confidence as it went on, obviously getting the goals we needed and then putting in a good performance by the end of it. So, Ryan, do you think that will help us sort of bring in some confidence towards the cup final this weekend, now that we've managed to get the job done when we maybe weren't playing at our best?
I reckon so, yeah. I think this is the main thing to take away from Sunday. Yeah, we've got the 3 points on the board and all that. It makes sure that we don't get caught up by the chasing pack of Liverpool, because they you don't have to fall away even further. It's more so that it's more important to get the win, because realistically, we're not winning the league title, sadly, this season. That's been put to bed early on. It's more important to get the win. And just have the girls going to Sunday with some confidence, some belief that they can put the ball in, that they can cause an upset, because Chelsea will be favourites, like they were last year. They will be the favourites going into this. And we've just got to go with that belief again like we did last year. But Sunday, the way we went about it could be key, because you don't have to. You can't always play brilliant and win and all that. Yeah. So sadly, sometimes you do have to win ugly, and we did it. We've shown we can do it a week before a final. So hopefully we can take that momentum into the final and upset Emma Hayes on the last hurrah, because I want that. I want that more than anything. I don't think I said this before, but I can't stand Emma Hayes for some reason. I can't think why.
Really? I think we're all on the same page with that.
So
to be fair, pretty much covers up the Villa game, really. I think it's good to have a good section to talk about the cup final, as we started it there. So Conti Cup final, Sunday at 3:00. Going to miss some of the Man City game because I will be in the stadium, very thankfully. There's a little group of us going on Sunday. So, of course, I will take lots of pictures and have them on for the show next week as well. But Jonesy, what are your thoughts going into this? And obviously we've won it last year in a game against Chelsea that maybe in the first half didn't look like we were going to get anything from it at all. Of course, we won 2-1 in the end. Stina equalised, I think it was just before half time, if I'm right. And obviously we went on to win it again. So do you think we're going to take some confidence from that game? Not maybe our form at the moment and our recent game with Chelsea, but more so that we've been in this position last year and got the job done and we can again.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you always got to look at last year and how we've done it. To be honest with you guys here, I'm quite worried for Sunday. I'm not as confident as I think I am with the other game that's happening on Sunday as well. I just think because it's Chelsea's and Emma Hayes' last hurrah, they're going to be a bit more, I wouldn't say up for it, because it's a cup final, so both teams should be up for it anyway, but I just think they're going to have that bit about them, about it, you know, after losing last year's final as well. They'll want to right the wrongs of that. If we do win it, it's going to have to be something like a dogged performance, you know, like we've done against Villa and, you know, in other games where we've grind out these results. A 1-0 win is what I'm hoping for. It's what my heart wants, but my head is telling me Chelsea win. And I know that sounds horrible to say it, but I hope they prove me wrong. And, you know, there's double celebrations on Sunday evening.
Yeah. I mean, the build up to Sunday, you can already feel it. I don't know if you guys are also just needing it to be Sunday, but the fact that we have a cup final just before basically another cup final at 4:30 is it's going to be a long day to 3 o'clock on Sunday, isn't it? but Spencer, what are your thoughts heading into this cup final? Do you think that we'll be able to get over the line, or do you think it's going to be one of those where maybe the occasion might get to some of our players again?
If they play like they did the first half of the Chelsea game, it could be a long night. But if they play the way they did in the second half of the Chelsea game and finish strong, you got the one goal, and then take into the way you played at Villa, and of course you guys mentioned the lineup. This is a lineup that you think might have a little bit more success. You just never know. It's any day. It's anybody's team. I think Chelsea are a little bit better than Arsenal's women, and we hate to say that out loud, but there's a good shot. I mean, it's a cup final. Anything can happen. You don't worry about what happened last Friday. Go in there, clear mind, clear hearts. I do want to, the travel issues that the women had going to Birmingham on Sunday potentially could make you a little bit uneasy. You know, maybe stay in a hotel the night before, do something to get their minds ready for the game, and then go for it. Because it seems like the last two games there's been kit issues and the bus issues. So it takes these professionals off of their game, right? So it ends up gets them, not in the way they need to be mentally. Forget who you're playing and just play the game. But I think the women got a legitimate shot on Sunday. I really do. So hopefully we're celebrating two victories, a cup final and a win over City. So
Yeah, with you on that. A comment there from Catherine just saying, we need to play like we played Chelsea first. That's obviously at the Emirates Stadium where we pretty much battered them in the first half. I completely agree. That game, I was there. It was not the Arsenal-Chelsea game any of us have ever been used to be fair. We challenged them in every aspect of the game and just made them look like they weren't Chelsea at all. So, Ryan, do you think that comment is also fair, and that's the sort of, we know that we can beat this Chelsea team, but we've got to be up for it on the day?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that's given me some hope in terms of looking towards Sunday, because we have beaten this season with this team for this season in terms of the Emirates. And just going back to the Emirates game as well, it's like going into that game, I was at the Emirates and the attendance and all that, the figures at the time. But tactically, Jonas and the team got it spot on. Straight from the off, they got in Emma Hayes' girls' faces, didn't let them play their play. We wanted to play. We asserted ourselves from the get-go, and we didn't let slip at once. If we can go with that game plan, I think we can get them. We've shown we can get them. We can beat them. It's just about tactically getting it spot on. And I think the game plan needs to be along the lines of what we did at the Emirates. I don't know what Jonas's mindset was the other week, especially when he thought it was going wrong and didn't change that. But he, just think positive, take the positives from the first game. Also look at the negatives from the last one out as well, so you don't make them same mistakes. But mainly focus on the one that we did embarrass them. To the point where Emma Hayes was fuming at halftime, making three subs. Get that reaction, because another thing that could go in our favour is this Emma Hayes swan song farewell tour and all that. Is the players, as you say, like you mentioned, they might want to give that bit extra because it's Emma Hayes' last League Cup final. She's lost the last four. She's like, this is the fifth one in a row. The ones that were here last year want to write the wrong, because this, that, and the other. So the emotion could come into it as well from their perspective. Too much, but if it's the case, we've got to be on it and capitalize on that and punish them like we did last year. Because that's going back to last year. In the first minute we were 1-0 down, and then we were all thinking, "Oh, here we go, fans. Okay, put yourselves in. That's what's going to be today." But the girls, even in that game, take the positives from that game, the tactics that you use from that as well, in the sense of you went 1-0 down. So people were writing you off before and put it at that point as well. But you assert yourselves after 5 minutes and got played basically you're playing your brand of football, not their brand of football. And look what we did to them. The game was over by half time in the end. So there's slight things that I can see that we can, Giannis has shown in not just obviously last year's cup final, but this season as well, where he can outwit Emma Hayes on his day. I'm just hoping Sunday's one of them days because yeah, it's our trophy. I want to defend it.
Yeah, and that's the thing, isn't it, Jonesy? I'll come to you. We're the current holders.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, this is the chance for a trophy this season. And you don't want to come away from that game having a season where we could have had it quite good and come away with nothing in the end. So do you think that will also be a bit of motivation as well as we've said, the hangover from that game and wanting to put everything right? Because you could visibly see that Leah was very upset at the end of that game at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah.
And the players all came out pretty much straight away and apologised for the performance. And, you know, you want to then see that them not just say the words, but do the actions of it as well. And this will be a great chance to put that right, won't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, like Spencer said, at the end of it, it is a cup final. It's one game, you know. Anything can happen in cup finals. We've seen Arsenal, they too do turn up in cup finals, you know. And it's a chance to put them rights to wrong, you know. Leah Williamson could be crying for different reasons on Sunday, you know, while holding up the trophy again. It's one game, and I know I said I'm worried, and I'm still obviously going to be hoping all hope and cheering on the girls on Sunday, but we can do it. We really can, and you know, and it's our cup. Like Ryan said, at the end of the day, we need to defend it, win back-to-back titles, and put old Miss Smug Face out of, you know, going out without a swan song. I'd love it as well. Jonas just gives her one of them in her face as well. That'd be lovely.
Yeah, a nice knee slide or something like he did a couple of seasons ago.
Brilliant.
first of a game, yeah.
Yeah, well, at the Emirates as well. It was wonderful, wasn't it? And again, that sort of reminds me that the words that she had said in her interview after we won it last season as well, to say, oh yeah, well, they're not used to winning anything, so they can enjoy it now. Yeah. Mind games like that with her as well. That's why we don't like her.
Yeah.
You know, from a club that's won the one trophy she hasn't, and multiple trophies before she came into the game with her at our club as well.
Exactly,
That's what riles us all up, I think, isn't it? Is the, like, tactical... I mean, it's probably genius from her point of view, but Spencer, what do you make of Emma Hayes and her mind games? And do you think that's something that we should even sort of acknowledge on the day?
I mean, Jose Mourinho does the same thing, right? He says one thing about you, but I always say if he's complimenting you, he doesn't really respect you. I saw a quote that Jonas had said about this game is not about revenge, but about doing what we can do and playing our game. But there is a little bit of revenge in it, right? I mean, it's not completely true, right? At the end of the day, like, and that's fine to say that out publicly, because the last thing you want to do is actually give your opponent bulletin board material. But yeah, I mean, this is probably what the Arsenal women can achieve this year, is this cup final. The league is a little probably too far off. I mean, things weird things have happened, right? But you need City and Chelsea to mess up, and the reality of both of them to do it is very unlikely. But you know, you just never know on the day, like Jonesy said, you just never know. So go out there, play confident. Don't worry about what happened at the bridge. Don't worry about anything else. Maybe look at the game that you did have success with them, and come with a good tactical plan there. Run with your best 11. Don't worry about the next game and go win the cup final. I mean, you know, they can do it. They're talented enough, you know, and maybe get Chelsea in card trouble early if you can, you know, and just sell some fouls, you know, get James in trouble. I can't stand watching her play, but yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens on Sunday. So.
Yeah. You make a good point there as well. I think, especially in the Stamford Bridge game recently, it was Lauren James just running the show. All day long, we were too afraid to even try and tackle her or get stuck in. So I think it will be, I think it's always important to get the foot in there, a little, you know, little nudge of the elbow early on, and just show that we're up for the fight this time. And if they're not going to have the game that they recently did against us, and it's going to be different. But I don't know if you guys know, there's some stats that the Conti Cup released earlier. So we... we currently have won 6 Conti Cups, or whatever it was called, obviously through time as well. Out of 9 games that we've played, so we're actually, when it comes to finals in this competition, we are notoriously the winners. You know, it's not something that maybe we've gone to so many finals and not quite tipped over the edge. So do you think, Ryan, as well, that that may help the likes of like Kim Little, that's been there through those couple of wins, and Nia Williamson, obviously. Do you think their experience will then sort of help us through that as well?
Yeah, I reckon so as well, because again, I think we had them obviously a part of it last year as well. I think that's probably another reason why we did so well last, because we had them both there last year as well to lean on. And as you say, notoriously, our history in the gets to this final is strong. Let's be brutally honest about it. But I think it can happen again, and it helps. What helped them to even more is the players that are there, that the bulk of the squad that are there last season are still here. That they'll have that feeling as well. And but yeah, I reckon so. The fact that they do lean off each other as well in terms of leadership and all that. So I don't see why not. And it's another mental thing just before a fight, before you walk out, but for the build-up for the next few days, is remind them last year, remind them of the club's history in this competition when it gets to the final, especially against Chelsea, because most of the time we do win this is against them.
Yeah. And another good comment from Catherine, just about Lauren James, really, saying that she, obviously, we understand that she is a good player and we can't really deny that. However, she does have another side to her, which is her anger management, and some of her, she has a tendency to lose her head really quickly. And we've obviously seen that in the World Cup. That was the moment for me in the World Cup where I was just like, nah, you're not my kind of player. If you're going to do that at this stage, there's a lot to learn. Jonesy, do you also agree with that? Is maybe that's something we can aim for, not in a bad way, but, you know, get into her, maybe put a tackle on her, wind her up slightly and let her lose her head?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if I was showing this, I'd be straight away on Sunday saying, Katie McCabe, go and put one on her first 10 seconds of the game, just to put one on her and then, you know, let her bite back and stuff like that. Katie McCabe can be shithousery at the finest. So if you just let her target James, I'm sure James will bite back. But I don't like James. I don't like her or her brother. They just seem, both of them, a bunch of arrogant, can you swear on this channel? Pricked, yeah. Basically, but
yeah, knock yourself out.
I've seen Liam, yeah, so yeah, probably can. But yeah, they're a bunch of arrogant pricks, the both of them. She's better than him, obviously, because she's fitter more all the time and plays. But you just want someone to rile her up. I mean, she will lose her head. She will. We've seen it, like you say, in the World Cup, and that's her game. You know, that's a part of her game that's, you know, maybe not as world class as people like to say she is. But yeah, like you said, last time we played them, we looked scared to even challenge her, or, you know, to even tackle her. I think if we do on Sunday target her, she could be seeing a red card maybe, or hopefully.
Good shout. Spencer, I'll come to you on this one as well. If we're thinking about the lineup, we've obviously spoken potentially about Russo and Stina Blackstenius coming in and out. But who would be your preferred striker going on the last couple of games as well for us? All front three.
Russo or Stenius, I'd probably go with Russo. I'm a big fan of not putting your best 11 out there. I know, hear me out when I say this. I always like leaving a wild card on the bench. Because if your best 11 doesn't get it done, you always have to have someone you need to turn to. I know we always talk about Trossard starting for Arsenal, but I love Trossard as a sub and what he brings to the team. Yeah. So I would probably start Russo, if you want my opinion on that. But yeah, I think close to the lineup you had at Villa.
Yeah.
Go for it. Have a go for it. So,
Ryan, what about you? What would be your preferred front three for Sunday?
Front three, I'd go for Mead, Russo, and Caitlin Ford. Just the three something we know of that will work. There's a good balance there. Ford last year, she'll be pumped as well because obviously she was denied a penalty last year. far as I'm concerned, that was a, when she got taken down near the end of the second half, that was a pen.
Yeah.
She has, and obviously being taken out this match day 11 from Caitlin's point of view, sort of stoke her up for this final. And she can cause trouble. We saw it again at the Emirates early on in the season. She can cause trouble with the Chelsea defence.
Yeah.
I think her and Russo can work well with each other as well.
Josie, what about you?
Yeah, echo exactly what Ryan was saying. Caitlin Ford for me and Russo, we've seen it all season. And me, that's what we've been used to. We've seen her coming on off the bench. I think that works quite well. She's basically our Trossard. If she works better coming off and gets a goal, we saw it at the weekend as well. But yeah, Caitlin Ford, she will want to definitely be up for it as well. So I would love to see that three. Ford, Russo and Mead.
Nice. I do have to slightly disagree. I would keep Steena on the bench at the moment, I think. Like what Spencer said, you having that option. She has been coming off the bench and putting in well. I know she obviously got a hat-trick as well from starting, but I think we do need to have something at the moment, don't we? Someone on form, at least. Mm. But I would put Lacasse on the wing. Mm. I think she offers so much more energy tracking back as well. The games I've seen her live, she's been the standout player for me, to be honest. And I think sometimes Caitlin Ford has a tendency to overdo a lot of things by trying to be a bit too fancy, trying to take on an extra player or take the ball a little bit wider and sort of... And she doesn't... If she loses it, she doesn't track back as much for me. So, yeah, I'll just throw one out there just to say it will go a little different for me. But arguably, whatever the team is what we're going to deal with, isn't it? So it doesn't really matter. we'll get some predictions as well for the scoreline if we can. And I will come to you first, Jonesy. What are you thinking?
So, yeah, it'd be a 1-0 with Russo scoring. God. We'll dog it out last 10 minutes.
Oh, I hope not. Nice. Obviously, to the chat as well, don't forget to put your preferred front three for the game or your score predictions as well. Spencer, what about you? What are you thinking?
I'm going 1-1 penalties.
Oh my days.
That's worse than mine.
You do realize it's a Man City game that coincides with this game at the same time.
Listen, Sunday is Easter. You're not only going to have the stress from your family, but you're going to have the stress from the Arsenal. So you're welcome.
I like it.
Ryan, do I dare come to you for yours?
I'm going for 2-1 Arsenal. Steena with a winner as well. Come on to get the winner. Like she did.
No.
Just, yeah.
And we win.
Also, in Steena's defence as well. Nothing wrong. Nothing against Steena, especially in the last 13, 14 months since Kelly Smith's come in as the attacking coach, noticed the improvement in Steena as in her overall play, not just in terms of her goal scoring, but her overall play is so much better now with Kelly Smith coaching her.
Mm.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. I think I'm going to go 3-2.
Oh, my goodness.
I normally go safe, don't I? See, I do think that there might be a bit more of a challenge and both teams will be up for it a little bit more than the other day. 7-0 draw, yeah, I don't think so. Hopefully not on penalties, at least.
Yes.
Imagine 7-0 on penalties and it goes to the goalkeepers or something to take it.
Oh, dear.
No, thank you. And I think Catherine also put 2-1 to Arsenal as well, so... Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a pretty safe prediction, isn't it? It'll be a nice scoreline, get it done as well. But yeah, I think, as I said, I'll take as many pictures as I can in and around the stadium on Sunday, trying to get the atmosphere going. So if anyone can send us any pictures of if you're at the game or if you're watching it in a pub or at home, or whatever you're doing, then do send it on social media across to us. We'll obviously promote it as we get close to the weekend as well, so we can show them all in the show next Tuesday as well. But yeah, just before we head into the men's section, I think it's a nice nod just to say that we've obviously got Declan Rice captain in England this evening. To me, it's obviously a great achievement for him. And I don't know if you guys know, but he is the 10th Arsenal player to captain England and the first for about 20 years. Mm. So, Jonesy, what did you make of that announcement yesterday?
I was half and half. You know, I was happy, obviously, that he would be captain on his 50th cap. But then the Arsenal side of me was like, no, I don't want him in anywhere near this match. Pull a hammy, pretend to pull a hammy after 30 seconds and do what City players do. But, you know, it's lovely for him. But he must be buzzing, don't get me wrong. It's, you know, I'm sure he's thinking about, you know, captaining England tonight rather than what's happening as well at the weekend. But, you know, it's fully deserved. Other than what these drivel West Ham fans are saying, he's come on leaps and bounds this season. He's probably been 10 times better for us this season than he ever was for that drivel mob. Or the European Super Champions of the Galaxy, whatever they're called now. But yeah, no, long may it continue. And hopefully, after the Euros, we get a new manager for England, then he becomes permanent captain, other than Big Nose.
Yeah, can you imagine? Ryan, I'll just come to you on this one as well. Obviously, we didn't speak last week after the whole Ben White situation came out. But what did you make of his stance of I'm putting Arsenal first?
No problem with it. I am pro club or country. I've not had the interest in international football. And everyone goes, oh, Southgate's done this, he's done that, he's brought everyone together. We ain't got me. So, especially this at this point of the season. When the title race and all that, I want my players to be fit. I don't want any excuses of fatigue, like hamstrings, this, that, and the other, knee injuries. If he can keep himself fit and go on, even if he goes away for a couple of days, like he has done with his other half, so be it. Keep, as long as he's not causing himself any physical issues, so I want him back for the Arsenal. That simple as. And the people that have got issues with it need to suck it up and go away, because there's been bigger, with all due respect, there's been bigger and better players that have literally just said, I don't want to play for England at all, period. And they haven't had the backlash. I remember when Ben Foster pulled out completely under Capello because he wasn't getting picked. No, there wasn't this backlash. The fact that Jeff Stenning has gone after Ben White again because his missus put up photos of them on holiday playing Uno, a card game. And he's like, what the hell are you doing? Your country needs you. You lost, your teammates lost to Brazil. Want to look closer to home, Jeff, and have a word with Mr. Holland and Mr. Southgate and the real reason why that Ben would rather go abroad with his other half than play for his country right now. And one, it's friendlies as well. It's not, these aren't games that are meaning anything either. These are just little friendlies that we're losing, by the way. And in terms of the Declan side of things, I'm with Jonesy. I was like, yeah, I'm happy for him because obviously he's Arsenal and all that. And like, as you say, he's the first person in God knows how long to play for Arsenal and captain the country for us. But at the same time, I wanted him to come off after half time. I just know. I mean, we're watching it now. We're 68 minutes in. He's still on the pitch. You know, Southgate's going to run him to the ground. I'd rather he didn't, but it is what it is. But no, I've got no problem with Ben doing what he's done. And the ones that have are just either rival fans that need something to shout about in the international break, or media lovers that hate Arsenal, basically, and have an excuse to have a go at us, basically. Leave them to it, as far as I'm concerned. We get over the line with either Champions League or the Premier League title, who's going to be laughing? Because I can bet my bottom dollar England ain't winning the Euros if Fraudgate in charge.
That's the truth. And Spencer, just lastly on that topic as well, do you think it's now that Arsenal have obviously taken a step in communications with England about Ben White, but also to withdraw Bukayo Saka as well? Do you think now that they're also on the same page thinking, well, other clubs are doing it, so we are absolutely going to do that and actually taking care of our players rather than letting them go off, pick up these random injuries and lose out in the long run?
I mean, that's the big scare of the international break. I mean, if you remember, we were trying for top four a couple of years ago, and Kieran Tierney tore his knee up for Scotland. And I think I don't even think it was a Euros game, to be honest with you. So I do like it, especially, I mean, I think me and Ryan talked before the show started. I mean, the October window, I can understand a little bit. But this time of year, I mean, we're at the crust. We got 10 games left in the league. You got Champions League's at the quarterfinals. The FA Cups are at the semifinals. I mean, what are we doing international games at this point for? If you want to do them after May, okay, I get it. I know the Euros are coming on. You want to get? We talk about player health and player safety, but yet we just cram the calendar with all these games. You got the Club World Cup that's starting soon. So, you know, I'm okay with the players taking it out. And, you know, a couple weeks, you know, you show up to the England, you get your cap in or whatever, play for a couple minutes like Stones tonight. Maybe he's not injured. Maybe he got 10 minutes in and gets pulled off. But you said Declan Rice is still on the pitch. That makes me nervous, right? Like, until all the players are back and in bubble wrap. I mean, Saliba's loss last year, his injury just – I think it just killed us the rest of the year. So, yeah, I do worry about – and I'm okay with what Ben White did. But I understand all sides to this. I understand people that say you should play for your country, but I also understand – Ben White's decision to not do it. And I respect it. And it's his decision. It's his talent and his ability. He could go to, you know, England, play France Belgium, and could have done his knee. And now it potentially affects somebody who wants to renegotiate a contract. So I understand the person that has the talent saying no. But yeah, as far as Southgate goes, I'm American, obviously. So we just won the Nations League on Sunday. But I do worry about England as far as winning the Euros, because you have such a negative manager. There's no reason to play a double pivot with all the talent you have in midfield and the forwards. So, but yeah, congratulations to Declan. Well-deserved, well-earned, and come back in one piece.
Definitely. We could all agree on that. So yeah, we'll just head into obviously the big one on Sunday. It's not really worth thinking about at the moment, is it? I don't know if you guys are the same. We kind of spoke on off air beforehand of how we're feeling building up to it. But Jonesy, obviously this is arguably the biggest fixture of the season, really, isn't it? And at such a stage where we've had this time off as well, what do you think we'll be feeling going into this game on Sunday afternoon as fans?
As fans? As fans, I'll probably spend half the morning in the toilet. But no, we will probably we'll be nervous. It's a double cup final, isn't it? Sunday, it's two cup finals, and this one is obviously a big one, especially for the men's, you know, side of the game, and us showing what we can do this season and taking a leap hold of this league title that we, you know, we so longingly want. If we're to win the league, I think we need to win on Sunday. We need to get the 3 points. I think a draw is good. Don't get me wrong, I won't turn my nose up at a draw at City, and no team, I don't think, will ever do that, or any fan would. It'd just be stupid. But if we get that win on Sunday, I think it can propel us into the rest of these games this season with confidence and knowing full well that we can go to anywhere and win. You know, I'm not worried about going to Spurs, you know, be that whatever you lot may think, but I'm not worried about them. I'm not worried about United, to be fair. This is the game for me that I feel, if we can do it, I'm not going to say we've got one hand on the cup. I'll never say that. But we would have our little finger on the cup if we can win on Sunday.
And Spencer, what are your plans for the game on Sunday? Are you going to be sort of out and about watching it? Are you watching it at home?
All right. So got church on Sunday. So 9 a.m. church service. So I'm 4 hours, really 5 hours behind you guys on Sunday. So 9 a.m. service, be home by 10:30. A nervous wreck until about 1:30, and then go hang out with the family. So I'm gonna try to figure out a way to watch all the games and everything. I'm gonna be a nervous wreck. And this is a 6-point game, right? Yeah. If you win, so look, your goal difference is already the best in the league. Got that taken care of. So if there's a tie, you're already up there. You're 1 point above City right now. All of a sudden now, that gives you a little leeway if you can get this win. I do agree with Jonesy. You have to get a result here. You haven't won, I think, since 2015 at the Etihad. And you've gotten some good beatings there, too. Last year was especially one of them. A lot of these guys were on, they remember it. So I'm going to be nervous. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I've been thinking about it all week. I've been thinking about it since the international break, since our last game. And I'm going to be a nervous wreck.
I know Porto has definitely held my nerves with the penalty shootout, but I think this is going to be 10 times worse. So hopefully I'll be still alive after the game. But looking forward to it. This is the big games we wanted, right? This is where we wanted to be. So this is if you want to be the best club in England, you have to win this game. Mm-hmm. And you've already done it twice this year. You did it on a neutral site, and you did it at home. So do the trifecta and get the third one.
Yeah, exactly. And Ryan, what are your plans for the games on Sunday? Are you watching it live?
Yeah, I'm watching both live, but one stream, but two games in one. I'm literally going to be a nervous wreck as well because it's, as I say, it's cup final in terms of the actual cup final. And you've got literally event it as the second half gets underway for topic now, 3 o'clock. Second half will be deep underway actually by half four. So hopefully we'll be 15 minutes away from lifting a trophy. And in the meantime, our lads will be doing their bit. I do agree with everyone else. Like, we do need to get something. We can't afford not to get anything from this game. The worst case, as a draw. You take a draw. I'll take a draw right now, all day long. But the win would do something even more for this team going into the remaining 9 league games after that. Because straight after this, we've got Luton midweek as well.
Mm.
So if we can go to City and get a win, and then obviously we come back to the Emirates on, I think it's Wednesday, or I think it's Wednesday next week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We can just go and cruise. We can literally just go with the confidence of the high of doing something against City like that. Take it to Luton and do what we've got to do. Do what we should be doing there, and everything just game by game. But the confidence that City game could give this team. Because let's be honest, it was this fixture last season that pretty much condemned us to not win the league in the end. It pretty much rubber stamped that we weren't going to get over the line in the end. They're going to catch us and do what they do and this, that and the other. So it's a big, big game. And I'll take the draw, but if we can win, I think we've got, as Jonesy said, we've got our pinky on it. On the trophy, mm-hmm. get that pinky. The tuck is up there. It's there for us. Then, not completely there, but it's there. You can see it now, see clearly. You just got to, game by game, but bang, bang, but full focus ahead. But the confidence that just got ooze out of the players from that point onwards. I've seen it growing up with back in the Wenger, Fergie era, and the first as it was starting off in the 98 season. We went on a massive winning streak and then went to Old Trafford, over miles with the winning goal, and the confidence going to Old Trafford and getting that win just propelled the team onwards to get over that line in the end. And this could be a similar thing this time around. But I'm going to be nervous for the entire 90 minutes for both games. Hopefully it's just 90 minutes for both games. I'm going to be an absolute nervous wreck.
Yeah. I agree.
I'll need people to help me out, I'll put it that way.
I think it's going to be a bit of a help that I'll be in the ground at Wolves just to take my mind off that game afterwards. I'm obviously going to be gutted to miss like the start and the build-up. And I think we'll miss maybe at least the first half an hour. But I'm sure all of us together will be looking at our phones, waiting for it. And I'm sure someone will have it on in the ground around us as well. That's how big it is as well. But yeah, Jonesy, obviously, thinking towards the starting lineup, I think we're pretty confident that Martinelli's not going to be involved. Obviously, he's not going to be out for the whole season, like we've seen. Seen some comments being thrown around yesterday.
He's in the world.
Yeah.
He's out the whole season now. But I think we can guarantee that he's probably not going to be involved this time. So you're hoping to sort of see Jesus come back in, or are you thinking like Trossard to come in and keep it as close to the last 11 that we've had?
I mean, there's a lot of rumours flying about in there that we could see Partey come back into the squad as well at the weekend. You know, Jesus could start as well. But I wouldn't change things. You know, what's been working for us the last couple of weeks is the Havertz factor. He's been working quite well as that number 9, 10, whatever he is. He's all over the place, it seems, up front. You know, and I think it works quite well with this current setup we've got in the team. So I wouldn't change things. if you need to, you know, Jesus and Partey are brilliant subs to bring on in a game if we're chasing, if we need to hold on. But for me, I wouldn't change anything, and I would start Trossard on the left and go with what we know. But yeah, hopefully Martinelli, and I mean my mum's friend's son, sister, her, sorry, he's working shopping in Tesco's, and apparently he's fit, so it'll be all right. But yeah, we might see him for the Bayern Munich game, hopefully. That's what I've heard, but I'm not in the know. So, but yeah, I'll go with what we know best.
Yeah. Spencer, is there any difference to the starting 11 that you'd like to see, or maybe that Havertz remain up top?
Ryan will attest, I'm probably Havertz's top fan. So, yeah, I'm keeping Havertz up at my striker, but I'm going to go with something bold here. I'm going to start Jesus at the left wing and Saka at the right wing, leave Trossard on the bench. Jorginho as the six, Rice is an eight, and Odegaard, of course, and then Kivior, Saliba, Gabriel, Ben White, with Partey making an appearance and Tommy Asu making an appearance, kind of like we did at the return fixture in October. Mm-hmm. I would like to, if we have Jesus and Saka on the field at the same time, because you're going to see a lot of rotation. And yeah, he's going to be playing left wing in theory, but you're going to see people move all over the place. And I think it's all about creating the space and making this midfield solid, right? Because Jorginho and Partey and Odegaard together make our midfield, I think, probably the best midfield right now that we have. Obviously, you got Luton this week, so you could go super strong and rotate for Luton. But that's what I would like to see. I know it's a little bold, but I love to have Trossard. Like I said earlier, I like him to have as that joker I can throw on there at the 60th minute and get me a goal. So,
yeah, that's fair enough. Ryan, anything different?
For me, no. As I say, Martinelli is not available. I'll be completely happy with seeing Jesus down at left hand side. Havertz as the full signs as striker, Saka, and yeah, I'm happy with what he's that lineup. I wouldn't change anything really. This is a game too early for Tomiyasu and Partey anyway, because they haven't, apart from the friendlies, they've been playing behind closed doors. They haven't had the minutes, so it's too much of a risk fitness wise in just alone to risk in just a big game like this. If anything, yeah, say bring, as Spencer said, bring them on at some point if you can. Other than that, I wouldn't start them. But I'd start them against Newton potentially, depending on how we go against on Sunday, obviously. But yeah, I wouldn't change anything. I'll be happy with whatever our strongest 11 we can possibly put out there.
Yeah. And that's the thing, I think, as well, isn't it? It's the consistency of the team playing well. You don't want to sort of disrupt that and bring, like we have before, bring someone in that's maybe suited for that game, but not in particularly ready for it. So we don't want to give any weakness out, do we? Well, Jonesy, with like Jorginho in the midfield role as well. I think he definitely deserves it, doesn't he, from his performances recently?
Yeah, I mean, he's the player, you know, that was winning Champions League for Chelsea and Euros for Italy. You know, he seems to be back to his best, and it's the best I've seen him, obviously, in a long time in the Premier League. And I think he's enjoying his time at Arsenal, to be fair. To be fair, though, anyone, I think, coming from Chelsea would enjoy their time away from that club. But he seems to be, you know, that anchor in midfield, and it's allowing Declan to get forward a bit more. We've seen him get some goals as well, and it's, you know, giving the freedom for Odegaard to just go where he wants and play balls where he wants. But yeah, he fills me with confidence. When I see Jorginho starting, you know, I feel that little bit more confident that he's not going to... I know he played a wayward pass against Spurs at home, but he was, you know, wasn't great then. But since he's come back into the team, he's been that anchor in midfield, and I'll keep him there. If he can stay fit for the whole of the season, he deserves to keep his place.
Absolutely. And just thinking about the sort of the build up to this fixture, Spencer, we've talked about the confidence that it can give us going forward. But do you think it's also externally could be something that people then actually start to understand that our team isn't the Arsenal that we have previously known, and we are deserving? Because I think even now some pundits and whatever are still pretty negative towards us, and that we don't really deserve to be where we are. So do you think that will also help in their aspect to change their mind, that we are actually serious about this and
I don't.
We're not going to fall apart.
I really don't, because I think they're going to only give you the credit till you do it. And the only thing I want to bring up, because I know we've talked about, you know, Man City, and if we beat them on Sunday, put our fingers on the trophy, but we're still tied with Liverpool. They're still there. And Liverpool are the media darling. Everybody loves Liverpool. I love them, a good Liverpool story. So, unfortunately, G, like, we all know it, because we can see the trajectory of this team. Like, this, you go back to 2017, 2018. I mean, Mustafi and David Luiz in the back, and all we can go through all the center back pairings we've had till now. The upward trajectory, like, the buy stock in Arsenal right now, if you're buying stock in teams, this isn't the last time we're going to be doing a trophy run with this group of team. But the media is not going to give you the credit until you do it. And then even then, once you do it, they're going to try and knock you off the perch, right? So I think deep down inside, the players know they can beat City. They've done it twice this year. But Liverpool's still there, and the media is not going to give Arsenal the credit, because they're going to expect you to bottle it again. You know, that's going to be the joke. Talk sport, whatever, the people that don't like us. I unfortunately, no, I don't think it's going to make a difference, if I'd be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree, to be fair. Just trying to throw things out there. But I think until you literally have the hands on the trophy and the season is done, no one's going to accept that we're still in for it, are they? Which is fine. Let's let them do that. The less pressure anyone puts on the team externally probably is going to help focus on it as well. But just thinking back to the game, obviously, there last season, I unfortunately was there and had to live through that game. But even for myself, obviously, that is the game for me, that we have to now turn it around. Like Spencer said, we haven't won there since 2015, which is a long time, and a completely different squad for both teams at that stage. But with the game last year, obviously, that's, as Ryan said, where it kind of all fell apart. But I think you can definitely see the improvements, especially in midfield with Declan Rice this year. Ryan, do you think that he'll help us sort of get over the line, because we're much more stable than we were in that position last year, and we've got a bit more fight about us than we did?
Yeah, I think Jonesy and Spencer have referred to earlier, the previous two games this season, the Community Shield, sorry, and the Emirates, the game at the Emirates back in October. We've seen now, we've obviously getting Declan in both them games, the difference that we looked in them games in midfield alongside someone like Jorginho, and then eventually Partey came on for the that status of the Emirates game. But in terms of Rice himself, how much more the athleticism in the midfield looks a lot. There's a lot more in it. He covers pretty much every blade of grass, no matter what position he's been told to play in, be it the six or the eight. He'll cover every blade of grass. But there's a seems, considering he hasn't had what I think what Arteta would have preferred to have as his midfield partner in terms of Partey all season, because Partey's just been Partey this year and just gone down the toilet in terms of his fitness. Rice just took it to, and also adding the price tag, he wouldn't know. Our most expensive signing ever, and he's coming from, with all due respect, West Ham, to a massive upgrade, by the way. I don't care if the West Ham fans don't like it. It's a massive upgrade coming to Arsenal nowadays, always would be. But you see the difference in our midfield when he's in it, because, as I say, the athleticism, he'll cover everything. He'll cover every man, left, right, and centre. And him and Jorginho have a good partnership they've built there, considered, all things considered. I think we just a bit more we can gain control of this midfield a lot better than we would have done last season. That's with Partey last season as well. The midfield is going to be the key battle on Sunday, one way or the other. That's going to decide the outcome of that game, be it dull 0-0 or whatever. It's going to be one of them games where it's going to be, no one's going to want to back an eyelid, by the way, give an edge, left, right, or centre. And it's about just taking them up. We saw the Emirates, when the moment comes, if you take it or not, If not, it'd be a dumb 0-0. But we'll take as long as we get something out of it. But yeah, it's not gonna be end to end swashbuckling left, right, centre football. There's gonna be moments of it. You think, oh, here we go. But like we saw at the end, and then it just go peter out and it'll be a full chess game again. But I think Declan, especially in that midfield, has improved us. And I think we do have a lot more control in general in that midfield now.
Yeah, I agree. And Jonesy, just thinking about obviously Devon Raya and the confidence he's got since the penalties, you could tell how much it meant to him and how much he loved that moment as well. But also to have Saliba back for this game, because he was out for the game last season. So yeah, the stability in the defence as well, alongside Gabriel, how important those three are going to be in regards to keeping, the guy up top. I don't want to say his name. I don't want to say anything to jinx it. But to keep him quiet, because obviously he's one of arguably their biggest threat.
Yeah, no, I mean, the game at the Emirates, Saliba had him in his pocket, didn't he? He out-muscled him, bullied him to the ground, you know, and it was, you haven't seen defenders do that to him. But Gabriel's there as well alongside him. And, I'm confident when you got them two in there that they could handle pretty much any striker, to be fair, in the Premier League, including him. But it's key. We just, we have a good game. We keep our heads about us. He can be marked out of a game. We've seen it. And he hasn't been great this season. I know he's had a couple of injuries. I'm not going to mention his name either. but, yeah, he's had a few games where, he's missed sitters as well this season, which he would have put away last season. But if there's any two centre-backs that I want us in our squad to come up against him, it'll be the two we've got now in Gabriel and Saliba. But I think it's just where the wings are on Sunday that are key, with Kivior and Ben White, just hopefully, they can do their jobs well. And it's a big test for Kivior, I think, this game on Sunday. But with that back four, with Saliba and Gabriel and Raya, I think it just feels the confidence to hold up the whole of that back line, and that feeds into the rest of the squad going forward.
And arguably for the first time, actually having confidence in the back, in the back line going to a place like that will obviously help somewhat with the nerves going into the game.
No Rob Holding, G. That's all I'm... Yeah. No Rob Holding.
He did score last time, to be fair.
He did, but we lost.
But thank God. And Spencer, you put a comment in the chat there, just a good topic of conversation. Edison's not likely to be in goal, isn't he? So obviously he's quite a good goalkeeper, isn't he? He's very good at blocking shots, and also coming out as a sweeper and sort of killing any attack out of nowhere. So do you think that we could also use that to our advantage?
Yeah, I mean, you got to think. I don't know if Ortega played any international ball during the last 2 weeks. So sorry to look that up before it came on. But it's any bit of advantage, right? I mean, if we were to lose Raya right now, Ramsdale's an amazing backup that could do the job for us. I mean, Ortega's done well. I mean, even I think is it Keller who's been playing for Liverpool, if I'm not mistaken? He's done well. So, I mean, it is an interesting... So if we don't have Martinelli, okay, but they don't have their starting keeper. So which would you rather not have? You'd rather go into this game without Martinelli than you would your starting keeper. So I think it is going to be interesting to see how he deals with the pressure. I mean, obviously he came in, subbed in, and played well against Liverpool in that 1-1 draw. But you just never know, man. Like, it's a big moment. He's had time to think about it, right? I mean, this is a massive game for them. I think Pep knows that this could be potentially their chance. If they lose this one, they might be out of it. I think it's an interesting matchup, interesting to see. And I'm not sure if Allison's coming back soon for Liverpool as well. But the fact that, the big thing is we're healthy. And that's, outside of Martinelli, we're healthy going into this game. And this year we have options of Partey. We would have thought a year ago we'd have been like, well, Thomas Partey might. No, he's a sub. Like, we would have never said that. So this just shows the levels that this club has come by bringing in Declan Rice, Kai Havertz, Timber as well. I think he's going to be excellent once he gets back healthy, and that's another option we're potentially going to have. He might be a sub on Sunday. I mean, there's no telling. So, the Ortega thing is something to definitely keep an eye on. Yeah, it's the nerves, man. Even talking about it, like you said, the midfield. It's Saliba and Gabriel sitting in front of Raya back there. I mean, just the Rock of Gibraltar back there. So, yeah, let's go get them 3 points, man. Because the other fixtures, I'm just going to bring this up, the other fixtures we have, you got Chelsea, that's going to be a game we have to play and make up. You still got to go to Old Trafford and play United, and we still got to go to that other club in London. So we need to get the 3 points. I mean, we can't afford to slip up here.
Yeah, fully agreed. Another good comment from Catherine as well. We're going to head into that. Carl Walker and John Stones are injured. might be out of the game for Sunday. Ryan, what are your thoughts on that? I think we're all on the same page. I think not believing it.
I mean, Ben White, Saka. I mean, Saka did it, so before the ball was even kicked, so technically, can't really complain.
Yeah.
it is what it is. It's all the mind games. It is. It's like I said about Ben White earlier, in terms of the reasons behind why I'm club for the country, I'm club over country anyway, and all that side of things. But in the sense of, we're in March. I'm not a fan of international football at this time of the season. We're in a title race. We need all our players. We've seen in the last couple of years, if you lose one or two players, things fall apart a bit in the running. Man City have done this before, where they pull up players flail an injury just coming into the end of the last penultimate game before the international break, and then they'll be like, oh, I'm injured. I mean, we saw it last year with Haaland, this time last year, exactly. Took a knock, went off. Oh, he's got a knock. Came back, first game against Liverpool, he's in the starting 11. It seems to do it now, because they, end of the day, there's so much money in the football, especially when it comes to Premier League and all that. They want, even with Man City, all their 115 charges, still want this league title, and they're not going to want to just roll over and allow us to go, well, there you go. You have it, Arsenal, for this year. We're going to risk it this year. No, they want the four-peat as well, as much as we want to end our 20-year drought ourselves. So again, Walker went off the fact he cleared the ball off. Maguire said, and went, that's it. I'm done. I'm out of it. I've got a hamstring now. Kicked that ball at Maguire's head, and now Stone's doing his thing tonight. I'm not surprised. Teams do it. It's the dark arts, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
And when people online lose their minds, oh, that's giving us hope. Da, da, da. No, don't get carried away. Wait till the team comes out first. Then, if they're not dead, then you celebrate. Because back when we played City back in October, obviously we all knew Rodri was out because of suspension. But obviously we didn't know until the last. We're getting rumours about Saka, and obviously it's this, that, and the other. And everyone's losing their minds. And I was like, let's just wait first, see what the team is, who's playing where, and if he is out, who's covering him, and just play it by ear. But again, I'm not getting carried away. We all know what they're doing. It is what it is. Game playing the game. So, and they're the masters of it. We're doing it, but we've done it as well. So we can't really complain either way, because we've done it as well with Saka and Benjamin doing what he did before the international break anyway.
Mm.
I'm very annoyed at Southgate for playing Declan for the entire match tonight. Didn't take him off at all.
It was good. As soon as he had the captain's armband, you knew he was not going to come off that game. That's just not going to happen, is it?
Sadly not, no.
Never mind, but hopefully. Have they finished yet? Are they still playing?
I think it's just about finished. It was in the injury time as I switched it off. Because it's finished now, yeah. 2-2.
Perfect. Well, there we go. We know that we've got through it. he's going to be coming on his way back over.
Yeah, I will say this as well. Foden, from an international point of view, is a fucking fraud. The amount of chances he's wasted tonight, I've watched, is unbelievable. But for Man City, you're scoring because he's surrounded by superstars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just saying. But no, he's better than Saka, apparently. Okay.
No, we don't need to listen to any of the online hype, because they're always wrong, aren't they? Let's be real. It's always aimed at the wrong, and it's to rile us up all the time. And yeah. Most of the Arsenal fans fall for it every single time.
Out of the two, who's got a sauce with Nando's? That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Well, I think that will lead us into some predictions before we finish up. So, as always, in the chat, if you want to put your predictions in there as well. Jonesy, I'm coming straight to you. What are you feeling? What are you thinking? Do you want to say it?
I don't know. I'm getting 3-1 to Arsenal.
Oh, fuck.
I couldn't predict goal scorers, though.
No. Spencer, what about you?
All right, so I'm going to go with a... God. What do I want? All right, what I want is a 4-1 Arsenal. That's not going to happen. I'm thinking it's probably going to be 2-1 Arsenal. I think Haaland scores for them, and we're going to have Saka goal and a Declan Rice off a header. So...
That's a good shout.
Ryan? Can I give two just to cover my ass? I'm going to go, because I said I'd take a draw, so I'll go, in terms of, if it's a draw, I'll be 2-2. If we win, 3-2.
Goals.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of them. It's either going to be cancelling each other out and literally just going toe-to-toe, and or doing that, but we just get over the line in the last dying moments of the game and just hold out for the last 10 minutes.
Mm. Right. I'm going to go with the home and go 1-0. I think it'll be tight. We're both coming off, obviously, an international break. So I don't think we'll be in the best flow we've been in this season. I can see us nicking a nice goal, maybe a deflection like last time. But I'll take absolutely anything, as long as we come away from there with something. I think that's the most important thing, just to keep the momentum going. But of course, we always want to win and back us to win. So, yep, we have had quite a few, actually. I'm just going to scroll through to find a couple of them. I think somebody also said 3-1. Yeah, Catherine, sorry, she did say 3-1. A tight and scrappy 3-1 Arsenal. I think we've seen a draw. Someone put a draw in there. Stefan's also said, can't see City losing. So, and we've got the classic stupid one of 8-all. There's always one, isn't there?
he's a Leeds fan, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, nice to watch some good football on Sunday, I suppose. It's all good. It's all good. But yeah, I think that pretty much covers off everything so far. Obviously, we haven't had a lot of matches to review so much, so we will be back next Tuesday to digest the cup final and the big one on Sunday afternoon. Jonesy, thanks as always for joining.
No problem at all. Thank you for having me.
No worries at all. And Spencer, it was lovely to have you on the panel for the first time. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No worries at all. And Ryan, thank you as well for helping behind the scenes. We were much appreciated.
Absolutely no problem. And hopefully we'll be back soon. And keep up the good work as well. I'm loving the work you did both doing as well, with you and Liam.
Thank you. Well, hopefully he'll be back to join us either next week or the week after. I'm sure we'll see him around. Some reaction videos or some smugness flowing around.
Trust me, if Arsenal win Sunday, he's back next week.
There'll be a parrot picture or a cigar flowing around somewhere, I'm sure. that obviously ties it up for this evening. Thanks everyone in the chat for your comments and predictions and questions, as always, is much appreciated. So don't forget to drop the like on the video and subscribe if you haven't already. We'll see you again next Tuesday at 8:30. Good night.
Good night.